It is time for worship and wellness, friends. The best way to start your day. Stay happy and healthy till day's end. It's called the refreshing way. Start your day the refreshing way. There's quiz time with questions and testimonies. Always a time for prayer. It's your worship and wellness broadcast. Start your day, enjoy day, the refreshing.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Worship on the Worship and Wellness Broadcast, a ministry of Torso. This is Pastor Shellam Flemons with my dear, lovely wife, Sister Maria. We're glad to be with you this morning, and it's Thursday, the 27th of July. We have some great information for you today, both on the worship side and on the wellness side of this broadcast, so we're glad that you joined us. The Bible does say, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. That should be Psalm 122, verse 1, and Psalms 138 tells us that this is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. And as I kneel in your presence, my wife will take us to the throne of grace.
Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for this time to come together for prayer and for worship. We ask now, Lord, that your Spirit will come and teach us the things we need to know. We ask for the anointing word to be granted to our pastor and for you to fill him with your Spirit. Lord, we thank you for your loving protection throughout the night. And now we pray for grace, wisdom, and mercy to be granted unto us on this day of your creation. For it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Okay, brothers and sisters, it's time now for us to have our opening song. And the opening song is, It's About Time for the Coming of Christ.
It's about time for the coming of Christ, your King. It's about time for Christian. It's about time. It's about
it's
We're talking about the Passover today, my brothers and sisters, the Passover. It's a beautiful story, and we will be digging right in. Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this day. We ask for thy spirit to guide and direct us. We ask for your name to be glorified in our lives. Thank you for in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, my dear ones, we're going to Exodus chapter 11. We finished Exodus 11, but I just want to, for context, I want us to look at that once again. It says, "And the Lord said unto Moses, Pharaoh shall not hearken unto you, that my wonders may be multiplied in all the land." Wait a minute. That's not it. I'm sorry. Exodus 10 is what I want to do. We're studying chapters 11 and 12. Exodus 10 says, "And Pharaoh said unto him, Get thee from me, take heed to thyself, see my face no more, for in the day that thou seest my face, thou shalt die." Okay? And so that is how it ended yesterday in our lesson. Now, what is interesting is as we read verse 11 or chapter 11, it seems like Moses left. But when you study it carefully, God in that moment said some things to Moses that he said to Pharaoh. Okay? So, and we'll be able to prove that in a moment. It says, "And the Lord said unto Moses, Yet will I bring one more plague upon Pharaoh and upon Egypt. Afterwards he will let you go hence. When he shall let you go, he shall surely thrust you out hence altogether." Now, it's my understanding, I can't prove this, that this is, so let me back up and say, I believe we will be able to prove that he said something else to Pharaoh, okay? And I believe this arrow inspiration of truth came from God to Moses while he was in Pharaoh's court. That's what I believe from what I'm reading, okay? So remember, we just read that Pharaoh said, "Get out of my place, get out of my face. If I see your face again, I'm going to kill you. You're going to die." And Moses said, "You have spoken well. I will see your face no more." And then it says, "The Lord said unto Moses, Yet will I bring one more plague upon Pharaoh and upon Egypt. Afterwards, he will let you go hence. When he shall let you go, he shall utterly thrust you out hence altogether. Speak now in the ears of the people, and let every man borrow of his neighbor and every woman of her neighbor jewels of silver and jewels of gold." And the Lord gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. Moreover, the man Moses was very great in the land of Egypt, in the sight of Pharaoh's servants and in the sight of the people. And Moses said, "Thus saith the Lord, about midnight will I go out into the midst of Egypt, and all the firstborn in the land of Egypt shall die, from the firstborn of Pharaoh that sitteth upon his throne, even unto the firstborn of the maid servant that is behind the mill, and all the firstborn of beasts. And there shall be a great cry throughout all the land of Egypt, such as there was none like it, nor shall be like it any more. But against any of the children of Israel shall not a dog move his tongue against man or beast, that you may know that the Lord doth put a difference between the Egyptians and Israel." Now, we have several themes that we're going over right now, but I want to pause and jump into this theme that the Lord puts a difference between the Egyptians and Israel. My brothers and my sisters, we're not supposed to be like the world. Bottom line, end of story. We're not supposed to treat our illnesses, because we will get sick. There's nothing that said that an illness may not come, but God has given us natural remedies. So a debilitating illness should not come upon us in the same way that it comes upon others, because we live a healthier lifestyle, my friend. There should be a difference in how we eat. You know, you go to a lot of churches that claim to be the remnant church today, and when you go, you might not get lucky. I use that term because they call it potluck, okay? You might not get lucky at potluck, and there's no difference between what you would see at another church or at another facility or another organization that doesn't even claim to be God especially favored people. But it doesn't matter what church you go to. I don't care if you're Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterian, non-denominational. What you eat at your table should be different than what the world eats, brothers and sisters, because the world is sick and we're eating the same foods. Brothers and sisters, we should not be lining up as Christians to run to the fast food restaurants like we do. We're not supposed to be going and eating all the flesh of dead animals like we do. We're not supposed to be eating all the foods that are toxic and GMO and all of that like we do. That's why we're sick. Brothers and sisters, a person who claims to follow God should look different than a person who does not follow God. Look in the mirror. Do you see anything when you get to dress to go out? Do you see any difference than the average person in the world? If you don't see anything different in the mirror, you're not understanding the principle that God puts a difference between his people and the Egyptians, my friend. We're supposed to be different. Now, I didn't say weird. I didn't say strange. But we're normal. They're abnormal. You see, brothers and sisters, people look at me and they say, man, you look a little old-fashioned. You wear suspenders. And I'm looking at them, and they got holes in their clothes, and they spent a whole bunch of money, and that's the new style. If that's the new style to have holes in your clothes, brothers and sisters, then I have a new style that uses suspenders to suspend my clothing from the shoulder so I don't put too much weight on my pelvic area. The bottom line, brothers and sisters, is I don't mind being different if different means I'm healthier. I don't mind being different if different means I can walk. You put, and I'm not a woman, but the bottom line is some of these women, they have on high heels and they can barely walk. Let them get in a crisis where they had to run and they would be in trouble, kind of skip across the road in that funny position because they got this stiletto high heel on. That's not even practical, brothers and sisters. You know, I remember that I saw a Time magazine article. I was young. It was many, many years ago. And the title of the Time magazine article was Pornography. Pornography. And, you know, all it showed on the front of the magazine was a woman's ankle in a high-heeled shoe. That's all it showed. And it was very seductive. Brothers and sisters, the world knows what's seductive. We should be different. That's all I'm saying. I'm not even trying to be too prescriptive here to say you can't do this, you can't do that. We should be different from the world. And, you know, this is about the Passover. You want the death angel to pass over you. And, you know, we want God to favor us, but we don't favor him. You know, favor, it's a play on words, what I'm about to say. But people say, I favor my mother, meaning that I look like my mother, you know, type of thing. But, you know, we want the favor of God, but we won't favor him. We don't want to look like him. We don't want to talk like him. You know, let somebody get on our last nerve, and we say, okay, Lord, you just stay up to the side. I don't want you to hear this. You just stay in the corner over there, and we bless them out, so to speak, brothers and sisters, and then we say, okay, Lord, I need you to forgive me. I need you to come back in here because I had to give them a piece of my mind, and we think that's normal. No. If you don't favor God, he's not going to favor you. And when I say favor, I'm talking about if we don't look like him, act like him, because he gives us the power to do so. We just don't want to surrender to his word, brothers and sisters. We like how we look. We like how we eat. We like how we spend money. We like all the things that we do, my brothers and sisters. But we forgot we're preparing for heaven, and God has sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die for us and rescue us from a sure death called the second death, brothers and sisters, because sin, the wages of which is death, has come upon all men, for all have sinned and come short. See, some people forget that all have sinned, and they focus on your sin, and they focus on what you've done, and they forget about all the wicked stuff that they did, which was 10 times worse than the thing that they say you did. You know, that's this world. But I'm telling you, if we don't favor God, he's not going to favor us. God gave me that, brothers and sisters. I didn't plan that in the notes. That's just a download from the Holy Ghost. If we don't favor God, he cannot favor us. There should be a difference between us. And brothers and sisters, some people just focus on one thing. We just focus on the Sabbath. No, the Sabbath is important. But how Do you live? Are you kind? My brothers and sisters, I'm here to tell you the last time I cried was at my mother's memorial service, which was this past Sabbath afternoon. And it was a worship service. It was a service of, we call it a Sabbath to remember. And I don't even have a little thing to show you. We have a beautiful booklet that we put together. But the point I want to make is that I saw people that surprised us from Florida. It was wonderful to see them. But and it really was. People came up drove from Maryland, and just you know, the sacrifice that people made to show their support was a blessing. And I don't want to start mentioning people because I'll forget so-and-so came from such and such a place. You know what I'm saying? That kind of thing. But a lot of people came from all over, and the place was full pretty much. And it was really a blessing to see. But when these EMS drivers, the ambulance drivers, the transportation gentlemen that transported my mother 470 times, we didn't know how long, they told us how many times, showed up, it wasn't a dry eye in the room. They got up and they talked about their career, their entire career. And one of them is 50, and he's the owner of the whole operation. And the other one was the one who picked up mom most of the time. They said, because even the owner, you know, has had much interaction with my mother, but they got up in front of all these people, brothers and sisters, and they said, of all the people in our entire career, all the thousands of people we have transported, no one has touched our lives like Miss Doris. There was not a dry eye in the place. I'm talking about kindness, brothers and sisters. Now, they might not know what we know. They don't eat like I eat, but they showed Jesus. They drove 12 hours, spent money on a hotel, drove 12 hours back to Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. They came dressed in their ambulance uniforms, brothers and sisters, and it was powerful. You see, what I'm trying to say is sometimes when we want to be different, we think it's just things like the Sabbath, things like we know the truth of the state of the dead, things like we know this part of prophecy, and we have no kindness in us. Jesus was kind. Jesus was loving. Jesus was patient. Think about how Jesus dealt with Judas. He knew all things. He knew Judas from the start was going to betray him, and yet he loved Judas. He didn't stop calling Judas. He didn't ignore Judas's phone calls for years, Judas's text messages for years. He didn't talk about Judas behind his back. He didn't get involved in somebody else's business. Then when you don't even know what you're talking about, just heard something, listened to something, and you haven't even never seen the accused person be out of character. But you take the accusation and you put them as law. Oh, my brothers and sisters, we've got a long, but you keep the Sabbath. We've got a long way to go, brothers and sisters. I'm going to tell you something. Jesus did not say, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples indeed in John 6. He didn't say, if you keep the Sabbath. Now, the Sabbath is important. But he said, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples indeed if you have love one toward another. God loved Pharaoh and went and said, Pharaoh, let my people go. I don't want to hurt Egypt. And gave Pharaoh opportunity after opportunity after opportunity. That's what he's doing for you, brothers and sisters. He's giving you opportunity after opportunity after opportunity. But if we don't represent God in character, we're not going to heaven. If you look in the mirror and you look just like the men of the world, what you put on and you all dap down, and if you are a woman and you look in the mirror and you look just like the women out in the world, all dazzling and all of this kind of stuff, and you're not shining from which takes away from the shining from within, the character that's supposed to shine out in light, in happiness, in joy, in peace, in benevolence, helping people, that all that stuff on the outside, brothers and sisters, it causes people to miss the glory that God wants to shine from the inside of you. And that's why God says that we should have no gold, pearls, or costly array in the new covenant, in the New Testament scriptures. That's where that comes from, brothers and sisters. I just say it that way because a lot of people say, I'm not an Old Testament Christian. I'm a New Testament Christian. Let me tell you something, brothers and sisters. The Bible says of Jesus, and beginning at Moses, that's Genesis, and all the prophets, that's Malachi, all the way to Malachi, that's the Old Testament, beginning at that time that it was written, and beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning themselves. That's in Luke chapter, I forgot right off, it just dropped, came from me. I think it's Luke chapter 27, okay? But anyway, bottom line, brothers and sisters, is that I wanted to spend a little time. If we're going to be like Jesus, we can't be like the world at the same time. And now, again, that doesn't mean that your clothes should be dirty. That doesn't mean you shouldn't comb your hair. That doesn't mean you should look all drabby and flabby and whatever. The bottom line is that God's people should be the best looking people, appropriate, nice. There should, you know, when you see a person that is well dressed, not looking like the world. Let me tell you something, brothers and sisters. I had to get a new suit for just because it was about that time. I just needed to get another suit because I didn't have one that looked presentable. I had to get a new suit for my mother's memorial. And let me tell you something. Homosexuals are the ones who produce the fashion of today. They are the ones, many of them are, and they're usually homosexual men, and they therefore don't have as much often respect toward women, and they often are very highly sexual in their tendencies. We know that just by history, history of the Bible and post-biblical history, and that's why there's so many sexual STD outbreaks within that realm, AIDS and that kind of thing. It's much more prevalent because they just do it more, brothers and sisters. There's no temperance. It's just demons just driving people to just do that act more and more and more. And that's why there's monkeypox. It was 98% of monkeypox was in the gay male community. That's a fact. You can hate me for it, but it's the truth anyhow. It is the truth. It was what happened. And what happened was that population was more highly vaccinated. These are just facts. You don't have to agree with my conclusions, but the fact is that population, homosexuals, were much more highly vaccinated than their heterosexual counterparts per capita, okay? So they were much more, if you had to separate people into sociological groups, you have the percentage of heterosexuals who were vaccinated, percentage of homosexuals that were vaccinated, so on and so forth. The homosexuals were much more highly vaccinated, okay? Much more homosexuals were tending to be Democrat because the Democratic Party promotes homosexuality and says it's a civil right, which is not right. That's not a civil wrong. It's never a civil right, brothers and sisters. And I don't hate on homosexuals, brothers and sisters. This is not a hate message. This is a love message. Jesus loves homosexual people, just like he loves other fornicators. I like to say it that way because a lot of people look down on them while you're sleeping with the deacon's wife, okay? And or you're sleeping with the pastor's wife, or you're sleeping with your you know, another brother in the church's wife, or somebody else's husband, and you look at homosexuals and you look down on them, brothers and sisters. I'm here to tell you it's all sin and it will all have to be overcome if we're going to make it into the kingdom of heaven. And so I'm here to tell you, brothers and sisters, that it's these challenges and ways of the world that lead to the disease. So anyway, yes, it is true that monkeypox came and it was 98% in gay community, and the only explanation, they don't give an explanation. The only explanation that's reasonable is that they were a more highly vaccinated group of people. New York City was one of the most highly vaccinated cities in America, and they had a recurrence of polio after the vaccine. We hadn't seen polio in my whole lifetime, brothers and sisters, because the vaccine weakens your immune system, okay? And it causes it to hyper-focus on just whatever that corona thing is, and it just leaves everything else off. So they won't tell you, but there's been a resurgence of cancers and other things. And just recently, unless it was fake news, LeBron James' son suffered a cardiac arrest. There's been a lot of that, and they're not reporting it in the news. A lot of athletes are falling. You remember the guy in the Buffalo Bills? He just fell over, and they were able to revive him off the football field. That is happening, and that's because it takes a while. Sometimes it takes they predicted, many of the doctors that were censored, predicted within a two-year period of time, there's going to be a lot of myocarditis, inflammation of the heart, due to vaccine. So just because you vaccinated and you feel all right today, brothers and sisters, you need to follow that health message, because there were some seeds of some things that were put in our bodies if we got vaccinated. So these are things that I just, you know, hey, we're just talking about what the Bible says. There's a difference. We should handle pandemics differently if we're in Christ. There's a difference between the Egyptians and Israel. And all these thy servants shall come down unto me and bow down themselves unto me, saying, get thee out, and all the people that follow thee, after that I will go out. See, this phrase is something that would be said to Pharaoh. That's why I'm saying this lightning bolt of information came to Moses in this message. Go tell the people. But he's getting all this, and he said all this before he left Pharaoh's face. And then he said, of course, he said, I'm not going to see your face anymore, but there's going to be one more plague, and you're going to beg us to leave after that. And he went out from Pharaoh in great anger. You see what I'm saying? That was the verse 8 of chapter 12. Okay, that's verse 8 of chapter 11. I'm sorry. And the Lord said unto Moses, Pharaoh shall not hearken unto you, that my wonders may be multiplied in the land of Egypt. And Moses and Aaron did all these wonders before Pharaoh. And the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart so that he would not let the children of Israel go out of his land. Now we're in verse 12, chapter 12. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. That's so beautiful, brothers and sisters. You know, the world celebrates the 25th of December, which had nothing to do with the birth of Jesus. It was the birth date of Tammuz, brothers and sisters. Who was Tammuz? He was the illegitimate child of a fornication relationship of Semiramis. Her husband Nimrod had died, and she was fooling around. And so when she became pregnant, she lied to the people, the superstitious people, and she told the superstitious people that she had been fooling, she said that Nimrod, who had died long before 9 years, let me get it right, long before 9 months previous, okay, because if he had died within 9 months, she had become pregnant, then that's obvious, okay, they had sex. Then he died, and within, you know, that she became pregnant, okay? And so she had the baby 9 months later. But the point is, long after his death, she became pregnant, brothers and sisters. And she told the superstitious people not that she was fooling around, not that she was fornicating, but she told them that Nimrod had become the sun god, and that Nimrod, through the rays of the sun, had penetrated her. You see, they worshipped the sun god on Sunday. That's why I keep the Sabbath, brothers and sisters, because Sunday worship is pagan. It comes from sun worship, and that's why the first day of the week was named Sunday. It was not named Sunday in the Bible. The Bible called it the first day, called Monday the second day. But you see, the devil worshipers worship the planets instead of worshiping the God who created them. So guess what day they worshiped on the first day of the week? They worshiped the sun because it was giving the most light. Guess what day they worship on Moon Day, which we call Monday. They worship the moon on that day, gave honor to the moon. And then if you study Spanish, you see the phonetics of the other days. I don't remember all of them, but I can tell you Wednesday is miércoles. That's Mercury, brothers and sisters. And so you look at Spanish and you'll see the phonetic connection to the various planets. In English, you do see the phonetic connection in sun, moon, and Saturn, okay? We have Sunday, Monday, Saturday. But if you look at other languages, you will know exactly what deity, fake deity, they were worshiping, what planet they worship. But the first day of the week, which was their greatest god that they worshiped, they had several gods, was Sunday. That's why I don't worship on Sunday in the sense that now we have worship. We have worship every day. We have worship on this broadcast every day, except on times of travel and those types of things. But the bottom line, brothers and sisters, is that we should not honor pagan festivals. The Catholic Church took that pagan festival of sun worship and they substituted it for God's holy Sabbath day. That's what we're doing when we worship on Sunday. We're honoring the papacy and we're worshiping the sun god without realizing it. You see, just because you didn't know, that doesn't make it different, brothers and sisters. I might have grown up in a house of satanic worshipers, and I might think that Luciferian worship is God's way. God will wink at my ignorance. God winks at the ignorance of the people, but he wants us to honor him and to honor him on his day. They worshiped God in the Bible on the seventh day, brothers and sisters. That was the special day of worship in the Bible, both Old and New Testament. It was in the beginning of time that God said he sanctified that day and wanted a rest from labor. You're not supposed to be worshiping on Sunday. That's a day of labor. Now, it might be household labor because in our society, because the Bible does say 6 days shalt thou labor, but, you know, we have other things to do rather than just go to work and punch a clock. We might do that Monday through Friday and sometimes Monday through Thursday or whatever. And, you know, obviously some people have to work on the weekend. But the point being made, brothers and sisters, is that this is the truth that I'm sharing with you. So what I want to say is this. Imagine we celebrate, those who do, Christmas. And we say, I wish you a Merry Christmas. I wish you a Merry Christmas. I wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. So we associate that happy time of the New Year with the Christmas that just happened, you know, 7 days before. God's plan was they would celebrate the death of Christ, their deliverance from sin. So God changed the Jewish calendar or created a calendar that became the Jewish calendar, and he said that the Passover was to be the beginning of months so that when the new year came, they would be thinking about a Savior who would die for their sin. Isn't that much better than you better watch out? You better not cry. You better not pout. I'm telling you why. Santa Claus is coming to town. He's making a wish and checking it twice to see whether you've been naughty or nice. And here's the thing about that, brothers and sisters. That's an investigative judgment. You know, a lot of people say that if you believe that God investigates us and you believe in a judgment, oh, that's legalism. And yet we celebrate Santa Claus when he does it. That's an investigative judgment. You better watch out. Better not cry. Better not pout. I'm telling you why. Santa Claus is coming to town. What's he going to do? He's making a list and checking it twice to see whether you've been naughty or nice. And we praise Santa Claus, and he's all over the place. And yet if we say that God brings every work into judgment, as the Bible said, with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil, God, for every person who has claimed to be a Christian, your life will be brought in review before God. And only those who choose to follow God will pass the test, brothers and sisters. In other words, will pass the scrutiny. It's not hard. We just have to obey. It's not hard to obey. Let me tell you something. Surrendering to God is the hardest, easiest thing you've ever done. Now, you might say, wait a minute, Pat, what did you just say? I said surrendering to Jesus is the hardest, easiest thing you have ever done. Why is it hard? Because you got to surrender. People don't want to surrender. I want to do what I want to do. So I don't want to surrender to God. We are proud and arrogant, brothers and sisters, and we're going to lose our salvation because we're too arrogant. Well, why is it easy? Because all you have to do is surrender. You don't have to do penance. You don't have to go on your knees until they bleed to death, bleed and all that. You don't have to do what the Catholic Church says do and become a monk and just spend all day praying and not doing anything for the world and ask for the money of the church to support you. You don't have to be a nun and not get married or a priest and not get married. You don't have to do all those things, brother, and live a life in a monastery wearing a black coat with a white whatever thing they have. You don't have to do all that stuff. That's wrong. It's evil. It came from Satan. All God says is that we have to have righteousness by faith. We have to believe that he will do for us what we cannot do for ourselves, which is forgive. We can be forgiven of everything we've done. And we have to believe that he will do in us and for us what we cannot do by ourselves. In us and through us that we could not do by ourselves. That's called sanctification. That's a holy life. I don't have to be bound by the things of the past life, brothers and sisters. I don't have to do the things I used to do. If I used to smoke weed, I don't have to keep smoking weed. If I used to fornicate, I don't have to keep fornicating. If I used to drink and smoke till I couldn't think and cope, I don't have to keep doing those things. If I used to gossip and listen to gossip, I don't have to do those things, brothers and sisters. I can replace gossip with godliness, brothers and sisters. You can. With the help of God. He said, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new, my friends. The Bible tells us these things, and it says, speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the 10th day of this month shall they take unto them every man a lamb. You see, that was because God wanted us to understand that Jesus must be personal to you. You must have a personal Savior, every man a lamb according to the house of their fathers. And that linked even though the men would go do it, that just showed that God wanted a personal relationship, but it was a lamb for a house. Notice what it says, a lamb for a house. Your house, brothers and sisters, has to be godly. The things taking place in your house have to be godly. You shouldn't just pray in the morning and then watch all the TV you can watch during the day, bringing all those demons from Hollywood into your house all day long, brothers and sisters. You know, the reason why people don't understand, I shouldn't say the reason why, I should simply say a lot of people don't understand that the wood that is used in witchcraft is Hollywood. When they make magic wands and stuff, that's Hollywood. And by the way, the gesture that they do. You'll see the little fairy, Walt Disney fairy do this. It's the same motion that the Roman Catholic Church uses when they pray holy water on you, brothers and sisters. It's pagan. Roman Catholicism is full of paganism. That's just one of many of the pagan customs. The seventh day, the Sabbath turned to Sunday was a pagan custom. The holy water and the way they do it, instead of baptism by immersion, is pagan. The birthday of Jesus on the December 25th is pagan. Ishtar, which is called Easter, is pagan. It's mentioned in the Bible, but the translators, you've got to understand, they came out of Catholicism, so they called it in the New Testament, they called it Easter. But the bottom line is it came from the goddess Ishtar, the goddess of fertility. A lot of sex going on, and they believed that the Mother Earth was having intercourse with Father Sun and Father Sun. In other words, the sun and the earth are having sexual intercourse, and that's why the springtime comes and all the flowers. That's the offspring. And how did the bunny rabbit get in there? Well, that's because the bunny rabbit is one of the most fertile animals. You lock a couple of if you don't like bunny rabbits and you shake and you always trying to shake a stick at a bunny rabbit, you lock a couple of bunny rabbits in a barn. There'll be more than you could shake a stick at, brothers and sisters. And I mean that without a pun. The reality is that they're very, very fertile. They have a whole lot of babies. And so I'm here to tell you, friends, all this bunny rabbit and Easter egg and all that, that's pagan, okay? It's pagan. It's devil worship. And while we are told that on some of these things we can actually take advantage of the time because people are more open to receive books and to and be touched by your graciousness on the Christmas season, okay? And therefore you can witness more. We can take advantage of the season and give gifts and that kind of thing of truth that we can be a blessing to people in those times. Lonely people, people who might want to commit suicide because of the loneliness that they're experiencing. We can be a blessing to them. We don't have to get into all the paganism. And surely, brothers and sisters, don't be getting into debt. That's what's wrong with us. We get into debt and we can't pay the whole debt off. We finally paid the debt off by November and we're back doing it again. And that's worldliness, friends. We don't need to do that. can't even pay our own bills, and we're doing all this kind of stuff. All right, this month, verse 2, shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the 10th day of this month shall ye take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls. That shows that we are to help our neighbors, brothers and sisters. That's not, and who is your neighbor? Anybody that needs help, according to the great Good Samaritan principle. Every man according to his eating shall make count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You know, I got in trouble one time because I taught that, you see, Jesus, you might not like this, but I'm telling you the truth anyhow. Jesus got sick. You cannot sweat blood and have a healthy body. Okay, you can't be falling over in the Garden of Gethsemane and be in perfect health. If you had tested Jesus, some things would have been off. I believe his blood pressure would have registered high, okay, at that time. I believe that he would be heading for a stroke, but he didn't have one. But you see, why was it? Because he was taking on the sins of the world. But Jesus was perfect in character, and that was symbolized by the lamb without blemish. Now, Jesus was healthy. I'm talking about the sickness came upon him during Gethsemane when the weight of all that I've ever done in my life was put on him, and that was crushing his life out. Got in trouble because I told people that Jesus had gotten sick in the Garden of Gethsemane, and they said I was violating a biblical principle because the lamb is without blemish. He was taken without blemish the 10th day. But you wouldn't say he's without blemish when he's burnt and when he's chopped up to be eaten. People don't study their Bibles, friends. And you shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation shall kill it in the evening. And they shall take the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door posts of the houses. Friends, we need to keep looking up. And we need to keep looking to our neighbors. We don't need to be looking down. The side posts will keep you looking to the side. How can I help somebody? When you saw that what was on the doorpost, how? I need your help, Jesus. But you don't be looking down, brothers and sisters. Looking down is a symbol of I've given up. No, we got to fight the good fight of faith. Amen. And they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire and unleavened bread. With bitter herbs shall they eat it. What does it mean? They should eat the flesh. The Bible tells us, brothers and sisters, then said Jesus unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. That's John 6:53. What does that mean? Well, we're told that to eat the flesh and drink the blood is to obey his word. That's why I teach the truth, friends. We've got to tell the truth. Once I tell the truth, friends, it's between you and God, and I mean that. I love everybody. I love all of you, and I want you to love me too. But I tell you the truth because God is true. But don't think I'm judging you. You might not be dressing like I think you should dress. We still love you. You might not be eating like we think you should eat. We still love you. You might not be going to church on the right day, and you might be going to church on a day that's sun worship day. We still love you. When this sermon is over, you are love. You're love during the sermon. But we must tell you the truth, brothers and sisters, for only the truth sets you free. Only the truth sets you free. So that's what it means, brothers and sisters. Now, what does it mean that they had to eat it with unleavened bread? 1 Corinthians 5:8 says, therefore, let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of truth and sincerity. I'm sorry, of sincerity and truth. So leaven is a symbol of sin, brothers and sisters. And eating the flesh is a symbol of obeying the word of God. And so these are wonderful symbols when they ate. So you can't just say, I'm saved by the blood, and you're not living the life that God would have you live. You're not obeying. When the death angel passed over, they were like Jesus. Oh, my friends, one of my favorite songs, be like Jesus, this my song, in the home and in the throng. Be like Jesus all day long. I would be like Jesus. You see, some people are like Jesus when they're around a bunch of people. That's in the throng. but it said in the home and in the throng. Some people are loving on their children, but they don't care about the world. It's not the way it is, brothers and sisters. And they shall eat in that night roast with fire, unleavened bread, bitter herbs. When you follow Christ, there will be trials. You see, you have to give up some things. Mark chapter 10, let me take you to it, brothers and sisters. Mark chapter 10, verse 29. And I realize, brothers and sisters, we're going over time, but this is important. So I'm just going to tell you right now, those of you who are listening, the title of the wellness segment was we wanted to tell you about an opportunity for you to get a free sample of a medical missionary course. We're going to be giving you more information on that. It will be August the 6th. It will be at 10 a.m., and it will be sponsored by a New Hope Mission, okay? But Torso Ministry will be conducting a training school, and it will be a live presentation on Zoom, but it will be a live presentation of our training school. For those of you who have been waiting for training, it starts August 6th, but that's just a first time, and that's a free sample. It's going to give you foundational principles. Brothers and sisters, God has taught our ministry how to train you in a fraction of the time for a fraction of the cost, okay? So there'll be more information, and I'm only mentioning it now because I will not have time to have a separate discussion of that because it's already almost 10 till, and we're going to try to get through more of this. But I'm here to tell you, God has given us a learning system. We call it the Torso Flow. It uses flow charts and other ways of learning the medical missionary work. And I can tell you, you're going to learn how to target a tumor and shrink tumors that nobody else can shrink. And you can't shrink them either. God's going to shrink them, but you got to be willing to think outside the box, because I'm going to tell you some things that will blow your mind, brothers and sisters. It's going to blow your mind. You're going to say, you're either going to love this course or you're going to hate it. So come on August the 6th, we're doing the foundational principles. Get in touch with us. We'll be announcing it, but you'll get in touch with us. And it may or may not be on our Zoom platform. It may be on another Zoom platform. We'll see how that goes. But the point being made, brothers and sisters, is that the course that will be an online course, the first time, it's actually going to be taught live on Zoom, and you can get it. You'll get a textbook. You'll get other material. You'll get everything they're going to get online, but we're actually going to teach it live, okay? So just wanted to give you that station identification, because we will not be able to go into that for our wellness segment. Eat it not raw nor sodden at all with water, but roast with fire. What I was taking you to was Mark chapter 10, verse 30. See, everybody thinks that when you follow Jesus, you know, the prosperity gospel preachers make you think that everything's going to be hunky-dory as long as you keep supporting their ministry and they got private jets. I'm not even against a private jet if it's needed, brothers and sisters. But the point being made is that I don't need to just support you with your lavish lifestyle, and you're not spreading the gospel of truth, okay? So notice what it says. And Jesus answered and said, "Verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel, but he shall receive 100-fold now in this time, houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecution, and in the world to come, eternal life." So when you give up, when you follow Christ, you got to give up the world. And there will be people that will turn against you. It might be your wife, might be your husband, might be your children, might be your sisters, might be your brothers. You might lose some property. God says if that happens to you, you're going to receive 100-fold in this life. And you're still going to get eternal life. But it's going to be some persecution in this life. Okay? So, my brothers and sisters, I am here to tell you that I'm just speaking the word of God. That's exactly what God has said. And we are just teaching what God has said. Back to Exodus. "And thus shall you eat it with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover." Friends, we should be always ready to share the gospel, always ready to get rid of sin. This is their deliverance of sin symbol. You should be ready to give up sin, friends. Because if you eat the lamb, you see, when you keep your eyes on Jesus, you'll worship on the Sabbath. If you keep your eyes on Jesus, you'll know the truth of the state of the dead. If you keep your eyes on Jesus, You'll give up all that bling bling and all that other stuff that makes you look like a worldling. You'll give it all up because you want to be like Jesus. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and I will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And against all the gods of Egypt, I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. And this day shall be unto you for a memorial, and you shall keep it a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. You shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever. 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread. Even the first day you shall put away leaven out of your houses. For whosoever eateth leavened bread from the first day until the seventh day, that soul shall be cut off from Israel. And in the first day there shall be an holy convocation, and in the seventh day there shall be an holy convocation to you. No manner of work shall be done in them, save that which every man must eat, that only may be done of you. And ye shall observe the feast of unleavened bread, for in this self same day have I brought your armies out of the land of Egypt. Therefore shall ye observe this day in your generations by an ordinance forever. In the first month, on the 14th day of the month, even at even, ye shall eat the unleavened bread until the 1 and 20th day of the month at even. 7 days shall there be no leaven found in your houses, for whosoever eateth that which is leavened, even that soul shall be cut off from the congregation of Israel, eat whether he be a stranger or born in the land. You shall eat nothing leavened in all your habitations. Shall ye eat leavened bread. Before I go to verse 21, the Passover represented the cross of Calvary. And after that, there were 7 days of disappointment. And it was during those days that Jesus appeared to his disciples and on the road to Emmaus, and they were so depressed that they didn't even recognize it was him. And that's why you have that famous verse that said, did not our hearts burn within us when he walked with us by the way? That's 7 days of disappointment. You're going to have disappointing days in your life, brothers and sisters, if you follow Christ, but he will triumph. And he had triumphed on the cross, and his disciples didn't even know it. It says, and you shall take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood that is in the basin and strike the lintel and the two side posts with the door that is in the basin. Hyssop is a bitter herb, friends. We will eat some bitter herbs. We will have some bitter experiences. But the Lord will, but hyssop is a cleanser. You catch that? When you purge me with hyssop, David said, hyssop is a cleanser. This experience of walking with Christ cleanses us from sin. For the Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians, and when he seeth the blood upon the lintel and on the two side posts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not suffer the destroyer to come unto your houses to smite you. So that's where the name Passover came from. The death angel passed over those who were covered by the blood. And ye shall observe this thing for an ordinance to thee and to thy sons forever. And it shall come to pass when you come to the land which the Lord give you according as he hath promised, that you shall keep this service. And it shall come to pass when your children shall say unto you, what mean ye by this service? Yet ye shall say, it is the sacrifice of the Lord's Passover, who passed over the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt, when he smote the Egyptians and delivered our houses. And the people bowed their head and worshipped. And the children of Israel went away and did as the Lord had commanded Moses and Aaron. So they did. Brothers and sisters, the Passover was an ordinance. Let me help you understand, because a lot of people don't know the truth. In Colossians 2, it says, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances, which was contrary to us, which was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. The handwriting God engraved with his finger on the Ten Commandments on stone. Moses wrote his law in handwriting, and the part of his handwriting that had ordinances in it, that was to be nailed to the cross. So there were ceremonial Sabbaths. They were annual Sabbaths. They were holy days, from which we get the term holiday, holy day, holiday. You see the connection? And they are annual events, Thanksgiving, Christmas, New Year's. They are holidays, annual, from the Bible, holy days. And the ones that were ordinances, friends, which are the Passover, the Feast of Pentecost, Day of Atonement. There were seven of them. And the bottom line, brothers and sisters, those Sabbaths were done away with at the cross. But many are deceived and they think that all Sabbaths are done away. No, it's only the ones that are shadowy. Because of where this light is, those who can see me, you don't even see my hand, but you see the shadow of my hand covering, going over my face. So you can tell something's coming, and then boom, it's there. You see? So the feasts were Sabbaths that pointed forward to something coming. The seventh day Sabbath points backward to God as the great creator of the heavens and the earth. So they are separate, and don't let anybody deceive you. The seventh day Sabbath was sanctified by God. That sanctification has never been removed. Okay? The ordinances had Sabbaths as well. That's why the Bible said, let no man judge you therefore in meat, drink, respect of an holy day, the new moon, or the Sabbath days, which are a shadow. So it's only those that were shadows that were done away with at the cross. And Pharaoh rose up. Let me get this verse before. And it came to pass that at midnight the Lord smote all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh that sat on the throne to the firstborn of the captive that was in the dungeon, and all the firstborn of cattle. And Pharaoh rose up in the night, he and all his servants and all the Egyptians, and there was a great cry in Egypt, for there was not a house where there was not one dead. And he called for Moses and Aaron by night and said, rise up and get you forth from among my people, both ye and the children of Israel, and go serve the Lord, and as ye have said. Also take your flocks and your herds, as ye have said, and be gone, and bless me also. And the Egyptians were urgent upon the people that they might send them out of the land in haste. For they said, we all be dead men. And the people took their dough before it was leavened, their kneading troughs, their being bound up in their clothes upon their shoulders. And the children of Israel did according to the word of Moses, and they borrowed of the Egyptians jewels of silver and jewels of gold and raiment. And the Lord gave people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, so that they lent unto them such things as they required, and they spoiled the Egyptians. And the children of Israel journeyed from Ramses to Succoth, about 600,000 on foot, that were men besides children, and a mixed multitude went up also with them, and flocks and herds, even very much cattle. God did not even keep Egyptians who wanted to go with them from going. They were called the mixed multitude. Now, they were challenged, and they created many challenges, but God wanted to save them too. He wanted them to see who he was. And my brothers and sisters, this borrowing from the Egyptians, the reason why that is acceptable is that they had been slaves, and they had been denied their wages for all those years. So the spoiling of the Egyptians was simply the pay that they deserved from all the slave labor. Okay, and they baked unleavened cakes of dough, which they brought forth out of Egypt, for it was not leavened, because they were thrust out of Egypt and could not tarry. Neither had they prepared for themselves any victual. Now the sojourning of the children of Israel who dwelt in Egypt was 430 years, and it came to pass at the end of the 430 years, even the selfsame day, it came to pass that all the host of the Lord went out of the land of Egypt. You see, it was prophesied that they would be there that time. That's why it said even the selfsame day. God is a God of prophecy, and he authenticates himself according to Isaiah 46, 9, and 10. He says, I am God, there is none else. I am God, there is none like me. How do you know? Declaring the end from the beginning. And from ancient times, things that are not yet done. So that's how he authenticates himself. That's why we are a people of prophecy, friends. It is a night to be much observed unto the Lord for bringing them out of the land of Egypt. This is that night of the Lord to be observed in all the children of Israel and their generations. And the Lord said unto Moses and Aaron, this is the ordinance of the Passover. There shall no stranger eat thereof, but every man's servant that is bought for money, when thou hast circumcised him, then shall he eat thereof. That means everybody can come into the fold. A foreigner and an hired servant shall not eat thereof. In one house shall it be eaten. Thou shalt not carry forth aught of the flesh out of the house, neither shall ye break a bone thereof. That represented Christ not having one bone broken. They pierced him in the side, remember, but they broke the bones of the other thieves. Of the thieves on either side of him. All the congregation of Israel shall keep it. when a stranger shall sojourn with thee, and will keep the Passover to the Lord, let all males be circumcised, and then let him come near and keep it, and ye shall be as one that is born in the land, for no uncircumcised person shall eat thereof. One law shall be to him that is homeborn, and unto the stranger that sojourneth. God doesn't have a special law for you and a special law for me. It's all the same law. That's important. Well, that's for you guys, but I interpreted my Bible differently. No, God has the same rules for everybody. Thus did all the children of Israel as the Lord commanded Moses and Aaron. So did they. And it came to pass the selfsame day that the Lord did bring the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt by their armies. Let's have prayer. Here we have an announcement. Heavenly Father, help us to let death pass over by serving you, eating your flesh, drinking your blood, obeying your word. Help us to get sin out of our lives because they had to eat unleavened bread. And help us to eat it in haste, showing that we must work hard, quickly, to finish the work of the Lord. I pray, Lord, that you would help us to recognize that Jesus had no sin and that it was my sin that crucified him. Help me, Lord. Help us all. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So, friends, as we wrap this up, just want to remind you that we are putting together a special course that will be a live version of the online course. So if you can't get it live, you can get it online. But there's a special price and a special gift to you if you want to take a course, a medical missionary course, where you will learn how to establish lifestyle centers, where you will learn how to work, and you'll be certified to heal the sick among you. It's a wellness coaching certification from the Torso Wellness Institute, and we're working hand-in-hand with another ministry to help to produce this course. And so you want to just contact us. We're putting all the finalities together. But I will tell you, it's as soon as August the 6th, and we're going to make presentation number one free, so you get a concept, and then we're going to start the main parts of the course, 12 different lessons covering the 12 systems of the body, starting August 27th. So August the 6th is the free course of the free lesson, and if you like it, you can sign up. If you don't like it, that's fine. But if you see a sample of the torso flow where we teach you in a fraction of the time for a fraction of the cost, you don't want to miss August 6th, friends. It's going to be at 10 o'clock. We'll give you more details. Just contact us in any way you choose to, and we'll put you in touch. The Lord is putting this together rather quickly, but this has been a work of years. And the Lord has reassigned my wife, not reassigned, but given us permission and the wherewithal to do what he's called us to do. We were caregivers for a good while, and that was a blessed experience. But now he has freed us to help get the work finished in a faster way. So that's our announcement. But he shall receive a hundredfold now in this time, houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecution, and in the world to come, eternal life.
Therefore, if we do our part in faith, God would open ways before us now, untrained dove. God bless you.
Closing song, I Will Trust in the Lord.
I will trust in the Lord. I will trust in the Lord. I will trust in the Lord till I die.
I will worship.
Shiva.